Hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast for the 24th of September. This is the daily podcast where we go a little deeper every day into subjects. We've been working on Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens or with New Covenant principles. Let me tackle one today that is a weird one. This is an odd little story from 2 Kings. This is right after Elijah has ascended in the chariot, and Elisha was told, if you see me go, you'll receive a double portion of my spirit. And you've heard me say before that this is in some ways like the departure of John the Baptist, and who was the New Testament's version of Elijah. And then the double portion that rests on his successor, which is Elisha, or in the case of the New Testament, Jesus, who walks in a greater anointing than that of John the Baptist. So it's not a perfect analogy, but it is one that's worth looking into. And then Elisha does something very un-Jesus-like, because we're not talking about apples to apples when we're comparing the characters of these people, like Elisha to Jesus. Who can compare to Jesus? Let me read this story to you from verse 23 of 2 Kings 2. He went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. He went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. This is a rough story. The man of God is on his way to Bethel, which is the house of God. He's on his way to this sacred space. And on his way there, he's being mocked by a bunch of what the text called youths. So we just assume it's a bunch of kids being kids. And it bothers Elisha because they make fun of the way he looks. And he is so bothered by it that he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Now, let's start with that, and then we'll get into what we need to learn from this. He pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, is what the text says. Where you see the Torah pronouncing curse on people from God happens at Mount Ebal. At Mount Ebal in Deuteronomy 27, Moses has a blessing pronounced from Mount Gerizim and then a curse pronounced from Mount Ebal. And when he pronounces the curse, the people answer and say, "Amen," which is, "So be it unto us." And I've pointed out before that the people amen the curses of Deuteronomy 27, but they don't amen the curse, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, because under a system of performance, your heart knows you're more likely to do that which gets you cursed than that which gets you blessed. And you automatically agree with the curse over the blessing. There is a self-effaciveness, it seems, to the Old Covenant. So there's your Torah instance of the curse. And if you look through those curses, I mean, they're kind of rough. I mean, cursed is one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Some of them are the kind of thing, and even that one, that's a stealing of land. Some of them seem to be real justice verses, like cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. There's curses on sexual impurities, like sleeping with your father's wife, or lying with an animal, or incest. Incest with in-laws. Most of these are sexual. Attacking your neighbor in secret. Taking a bribe to commit murder. Or one that doesn't confirm the words of the law. Most of these are interpersonal. They are, it's treating your mother and father with contempt. There's no verse there about making fun of someone's receding hairline. You get your receding hairline made fun of, oh, the curse. So it would seem to me that even though he curses them in the Lord, he doesn't have biblical precedent to do it. He's not cursing them for breaking some form of the Torah or some form of Mosaic law. But it does seem as if he walks in the power of the anointing and he uses it for ill. He uses it to cause harm. Now, what we're trying to do is not instill sort of a dispassionate view from you, the listener, onto these Old Testament scriptures, but rather take those Old Testament scriptures and pull them sort of through the eye of the needle of the finished work and see them through a New Covenant lens. And if you do that, you might end up in Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul works on what, I don't know if there's any other way to say it, half of the 12th chapter is Paul teaching the Romans to behave like Christians, behave like believers, to love without hypocrisy, hate what's evil, cling to what's good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honor one another, don't lag in your diligence, be fervent in your spirit, rejoice in hope, persevere through tribulation, distribute to people who have need. Listen to this from Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Let me say it again. Bless and do not curse. It seems that we have the power of our tongue to curse people. I think we're shown extreme versions of it through these anointed characters of the Old Testament. I don't mean that if you curse a group of youths, two she-bears come out of the woods and kill 42 kids. That seems to be an extreme version of this. The Bible is prone to giving us extreme examples so we pay attention. But you do hold great power in your tongue, so govern it. And how do you govern it? You pay attention to that 12th chapter of Romans and don't repay evil for evil. And regard good things in the sight of all men, and as if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with men. We are held, this is the best way for me to say it, we are held to a higher standard than Elisha, because we are houses of the Holy Spirit. And so when you read those Old Testament stories, read it through that lens. Go, look, what else did he know? He's walking out the rigid instructions of Torah, and he's using his mouth to curse because he doesn't walk in the kingdom as you and I do. Keep that in mind when you read those stories. All right, tomorrow's Friday. We'll try something else. See you then. God bless.